Well, good morning, everyone. I did have a video clip that I was going to share with you, but I feel that that wasn't the right way to go, and I feel that God has kind of led me with something that's better. So we're going to start today by reading God's Word together. So we're going to start in Hebrews 11. It's just two short verses. Hebrews 11, verse 20 and 21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. That last verse is amazing. When I read it, I just feel like, oh, wow, I want to be like Jacob in his older years. Jacob was 147 years old when he blessed Joseph's sons. And although his body was frail, failing and old, he was spiritually strong and he leaned on top of his staff as he worshipped God. And this reminded me of some of the people that if we... Brixworth Community Church, still a hard one to get over, Brixworth Community Church were to have a Hall of Fame. Some people that we know that have been dear to us in the past would be part of that. And just to mention a few, Peggy Todd, Joan Isaacs, Roland Beckett, Margaret Wood, Betty Holman. These people may have been physically weak, but oh my goodness, I think we'd all agree that each were spiritually strong. And as our friends who have now moved on to glory, appearances clearly can be deceiving. And Jacob was physically weak, but spiritually he was strong. And as we continue to look at these great names found in this Hall of Fame, found in Hebrews 11, we come to Abraham's son, Isaac, and his son, Jacob. I have 2 points for us this morning. First point is being faithful where God has placed you. And the second point is knowing that God is in control. So our first point, being faithful where God has placed you. Isaac's father, Abraham, was a trailblazer of faith who stands head and shoulders above all others. And when God called him to leave his father's country and go to the land that he didn't even know, that God hadn't even opened up to him yet, Abraham got up and he went. Abraham did what God had asked him. And when God told Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. Then in their older years, Sarah gave birth to their firstborn son Isaac, who was born out of Abraham and Sarah's great faith. He was without doubt a miracle baby, born to Sarah when she was 90 years old and far beyond normal childbearing age. And then Abraham, when he was 100 years old. Now Abraham was a well-respected man who was courageous, a man who loved his family and would defend them at any cost. And God said to Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Isaac is the first of all these numerous descendants. Now you might think that Isaac, son of Abraham, would be in the same mold as his father, cut from the same cloth, if you like. That he too would stand head and shoulders above the others as his father Abraham. But as one Christian writer puts it, God didn't choose Abraham God didn't choose to carry out his plan because Abraham was special, that he was talented or even righteous. In fact, God didn't choose anyone in the Bible for those reasons. He doesn't also choose anyone today for those reasons. God chooses whom he will because he can. It's God who makes people special. God who bestows talents. And God alone who can transform sinners into righteous believers. And as with Abraham, God chose Isaac and Jacob not because they are special, talented or righteous. God chose them both because he is sovereign and his will be done. But the good news here is that God chooses the imperfect to be part of his family. In Mark 2, verse 17, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Abraham was, if you like, faithful in the big things. But Isaac was faithful in smaller things. Make no mistake, God wants us to be faithful in all things, whether big or small. Some people may be wealthy, others may not be. And some people may have powerful spiritual gifts, but others may have lesser gifts. But know this, each of us is responsible to use what God has given us. And sometimes being faithful in smaller things. We need to be satisfied where God has us and not compare with each other or maybe be jealous of somebody else's giftings. God may want you to be a trailblazer like Abraham, faithful in the big things, or maybe a homemaker like Isaac, faithful in smaller things. The important point here is that we need to remember that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and we need to be faithful where God has placed us. Isaac's father, Abraham, as he neared the end of his life, left everything he owned to Isaac as his birthright. And Isaac became very quickly a wealthy livestock owner and was asked by King Abimelech to move away from them because Isaac had become too powerful. So Isaac moved away from Abimelech. Then, after a dispute, Isaac moved away from the Galley of Gerar. And then he moved away again to Beersheba. And like his father, he lived a nomadic life. Although unlike his father, I believe this was more about avoiding conflict, confrontation, than being faithful to God. In verse 24, the Lord appeared to Isaac, reminding him of his promise and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bless you and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Now, just before we look to our second point, we should ask the question of ourselves. Are we, as individuals, faithful in the place where God has us? Point number two, knowing that God is in control. Now here I'd like to introduce you to Isaac and Rebekah's twin sons, Esau and Jacob. It could be said that Abraham was pretty good, that Isaac was okay. But Esau and Jacob, they were a bit of a mess really. Isaac married Rebekah when he was 40 years old, and instead of having babies fast and furious, it wasn't until 20 years later when Rebekah, his wife, gave birth to the troublesome duo, Esau and Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 28, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob, which is interesting because Isaac was more like Jacob than Esau. Jacob liked to stay at home and cook. But Esau grew up to be a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. That being said, we know that Jacob liked to wrestle. We know this from Genesis 25, where the two babies, Jacob and Esau, wrestled together in their mother's womb. And then further on in Genesis 32, we find that Jacob wrestles with God. Now there's an important verse here in Genesis 25, and it's verse 23. The Lord said to her, Rebekah that is, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now here's the point. God is sovereign. He knows the future. He knows. God knows your future. And here we are. The babies are yet to be born. And God is revealing something of the future to Rebekah. But how will this be? The firstborn will have the birthright. And traditionally, he will be the one to lead the family on. And yet God has said the firstborn will serve the secondborn. How on earth was this ever going to happen? When we think of this hall of fame found in Hebrews 11, not all of those listed would be seen as great. They were not necessarily people of great faith, but the faith they had was in a great God. And God had called those listed into his great plan. And here we have Isaac, who didn't always react well under pressure. It was God's sovereign will that Esau would serve Jacob, no matter what Isaac and Rebekah would do. Now, up until this point, it could be said of Isaac that he had been a good, caring, and consistent husband. But here we have, from the birth of these two troublesome twins, this man and woman of faith beginning to lose the plot. I wonder, have you ever lost the plot? Let me define this term for you. Losing the plot means losing all sense of rational thought. No longer being able to act normally or understand what's going on. Now, Esther and I are grateful to God that we don't lose the plot at the same time. If Esther's plot has been lost, God blesses me with the wisdom and grace to be able to deal with that. Likewise, if I lose the plot, God works through Esther and deals with me and sorts me out. And in the past, when we have lost the plot together, and it's not a pretty sight, in the past when we both lost the plot together, God sovereignly, this is what I'm talking about, God is in control, God sovereignly sends somebody along just at the right time to sort us out. Praise the Lord. Thank God he's in control. But here we have this couple who had lost the plot. First we have Rebekah, who loves Jacob, going against and deceiving her firstborn son Esau and her husband Isaac, and encouraging Jacob, her son, to do likewise. Now, as far as I can see, Isaac wasn't aware that Esau had despised his birth and sworn on oath selling it to Jacob. But that being said, how could Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob keep something that was so big, Esau's birthright, so big and so important from Isaac for thereabouts 100 years? Well, let us remind ourselves of that verse, that important verse, Genesis 25, verse 23. The Lord said, the older will serve the younger. God is in control. Not Rebekah, not Jacob, not Esau. God is sovereign. Esau was the firstborn. That is why he originally had the birthright, which Jacob had now taken. And we know that with this birthright, all that Isaac and Rebekah owned would go at the end of Isaac's earthly life to the owner of the birthright, which now is Jacob. Now, the problem we have here is in Genesis 27, where we find Isaac, who was old, blind, and close to death, blissfully unaware of what Esau and Jacob had done, wanting to bless Esau, who he knew to be his firstborn son and heir. And one Christian writer puts it like this: Isaac preferred Esau to Jacob. He wanted to give Esau the blessing rather than Jacob. But when events were turned on their head and he discovered what had happened, he realized that God was in this. And then he cooperated with rather than resisted God's will. You see, God is in control. God is sovereign. Now, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, loved Jacob and chose to deceive her husband and their other son, which led to Isaac being deceived, Jacob being blessed, and Esau seeking revenge. And in Esau's outrage, he announces that what Jacob had done. Genesis 27, verse 36. I don't know whether I'm just reading it this way or this is the way that it happened, but this is Esau's outrage. Genesis 27, verse 36. This is the second time that he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright. As if he's stamping his feet. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Another Christian writer said this: when old Isaac said to Esau, "You are too late. I have given my blessing to Jacob," it was his finest hour. No matter what Isaac had done in the past, here he was faithful, trusting in God's sovereign will. Now, Isaac may have been physically blind and old in years, but the moment that he heard Esau's confession, he would have known that in the midst of all this man-made mess, that God is in control. And just as God had said to Rebekah all those years ago, the older will serve the younger. Esau will serve Jacob. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the TV and get the news channel, it always seems to be bad news. There's always something that's going on around the world, whether it's terrorism, disease, or what's going on. It always seems to be bad news. And the media are telling us what kind of a world we're living in. It's a messed up world that we live in. And it doesn't look, it looks far from that God is in control. But you can be sure that God is sovereign. and that he is working out his plan through people's mess. To paraphrase what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, what man has meant for evil, God will make for good. And in finishing, it is so easy for us to do as Isaac, Esau, Jacob and Rebekah did, and take things out of God's hands, putting your trust, your hope in those around us, maybe your hope in somebody you love, a partner, a friend. But the truth is, they will always let you down at some point. If you put your hope in a partner, in a friend, in a loved one, then what, ask yourselves, what are you going to do when it's their time to pass on? As the psalmist said, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. The point is, if you are the one that is left behind, hopeless, because the one that you have trusted in, the one that you have put your faith in, the one that you have put your hope in, has gone forever, what will you do? What are you going to do? Well, at the end of the day, Isaac, Jacob, Rebekah, each and every one of us will realize that there is precious little we can do. You see, there is only one who is truly faithful. His name is Jesus. And the best thing that any one of us can do is accept Jesus, the gift of God. Put our trust, our hope in him who gave his all on the cross of Calvary and dealt with death once and for all, making a way for each and every one of us to be right with God through him. All we need to do is receive this wonderful gift. Can I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ with your life, to be faithful wherever God has placed you, and to always know that no matter how big the mess do you feel that you're in, God is there with you, and God is in control. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that no matter what is going on in our lives, and when we look at the news and we see all the mess that the world has gotten itself into, we can know that you are there with us. You are working out your plan in the background, and you are turning what is evil and making things good. So, Father, we just want to say, Lord, will you bless us and encourage us in the days to come. And no matter what mess that we may have gotten ourselves into, Lord, help us to know that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you love us, and that you are in control. So we pray your blessing upon each and every one of us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.